that we can come together as a body of believers. We want to welcome those that are watching us live here at Victory Fellowship. My prayer is there something I can say to you and your family to encourage you along the way as we get into God's Word today. And so it is a beautiful day. It is sun shining, and it's nice and crispy and brisk outside, and so we're having to now put on some things like our coats and jackets and stuff like that. Thank God that we've got that and that we can enjoy this change, the change of weather, because we've got seasons that are changing, and thank God it's not the same thing every all through the year. There's changes that take place. And some like it hot, some like it cold. And so with that, I enjoy the change of weather, the fall of the leaves. Some like to take a trip to the mountains and see the leaves fall and change. And so it is good that we can enjoy, which we enjoy the weather, and we enjoy God's creation and how that He has created things for us to enjoy with everything that we come in contact with. So if you have your Bibles today, I'd like for you to hold them up today. That's the sword of the Spirit. And those that are holding their Bibles up, and if you don't, there's a Bible in the pew there. There's a Bible that's going to be projected on the screen. So I want you to go with me, if you would, to the book of John, John's Gospel, the second chapter, beginning with the first verse. John's Gospel 2:1. And we want to look at this as time will permit. This is a brand new series that I am doing called the Miracle Series. And we're going to begin to look here a little bit today as time will permit with us today. And so we want to look at this as well. As we open up here a little bit today on the Miracle Series, I want to read something to you as we get in to the Word of God here. This is by Dwight Pentecost. He writes this. He says, "Miracles were especially designed by God to convey a message to the nation of Israel. Paul stated in 1 Corinthians 1:22 that while the Greeks were persuaded by philosophy or a logic or reason, the Jews required a miraculous sign before they would believe. And yet miracles occurred first in the Old Testament at the time of the Exodus. By the miracles, God authenticated Moses and forsake Egypt and followed him into the desert. And miracles were designed to convince Pharaoh that the Lord was the true God and that he should submit to his command to liberate the Israelites from bondage. The second period in which miracles occurred," as we're going to talk about miracles, "the second period in which miracles occurred in the Old Testament was in the days of Elijah and Elisha. These two prophets ministered to apostate nation being ruled by godless kings and called the people to repent. And there's a message warned that kings and the nation of impending judgment, if they do not alike repent. The miracles they perform authenticated then as God's messengers and showed that their messages were divine origin. Yet the third period in which miracles occurred in connection with God as a program for His covenant people, Israel, was during the earthly ministry of Christ. The Messiah was sent as God's messenger with God's message that the Messiah has come to redeem, to reign. And the people were called on to turn from sin, to turn in faith, and to the one who offered Himself as a Savior, and to trust Him for salvation. salvation. Thus, as the Old Testament, the miracles were designed to authenticate both God's messenger and message. And yet, note that the miracles of the Old Testament were mainly punctuated, and it was pursued by those of Christ, and mainly those that came to know Him. Not only did the miracles of Jesus authenticated His person and message, they revealed the fear in which He exercised authority. And there was miracles in the realms of nature, of demons, of sickness, of disease, the physical, the emotional, and the death. By His miracles, Christ demonstrated His authority in the realms in which He will one day rule as King in His kingdom. Further, the miracle reveals conditions in the kingdom over which Messiah will rule. It will be a kingdom in which nature is subject to His authority, in which there will be no sickness, there'll be no diseases, and there'll be no death. And it will be a kingdom in which Satan is bound and his influence is curbed. It will be a kingdom in which there is no want. Thus, as we look at the miracles today, as we begin to see exactly what's going on, the miracles we must consider will reveal about a person, the authority of Christ, as well as the benefits that will provide through His reign for those in His kingdom. We will see today, as we look at this, about the miracles. We will see John's record as he records that the first miracle has two results. In the first place, their essential glory that belongs to Jesus Christ as the Son of God and was revealed to those who had been directed to Him by John the Baptist and others who had been brought to Him by His first disciples, so they that trusted Him and were willing to leave John and follow Him. This one to whom the subjects of themselves was the Son of God. And in the miracle, as we look at today, they have seen His glory and seen Him in glory, and He was worthy to believe. I want us to look here today as we see now, as we move forward in the miracles of Christ. We know that Christ came to this earth. And we know that He was born of a virgin. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And we know that He has come to save the world. He come to save you. He come to save me. And yet through history of time, as we see from the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament, we know that God Almighty was leading us to Jesus Christ so that you and I would have salvation and that we could come under grace and mercy and know that we have a Savior that has come to save you and me, that we will begin to experience the miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to look here today because this was the first miracle that Jesus Christ had performed, and this is the wedding bells is what we want to look at today in John 2 and 1. And then the third day, there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto Him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." His mother said unto the servant, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And there were set six water pots of stone, and after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two of the three firkins apiece. And Jesus said unto them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And He said unto them, "Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast." And there bared it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servant which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, even man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of the miracle did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee manifest forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Can I hear an amen to God's word? Our Lord's first miracle began to take place. It begins in his public ministry. He fulfills a promise to Nathanael, as he clearly lets us know this in John 1 and 49, as he begins to let others know that he began to do a miracle that was yet not to start, but by Mary saying they are out of wine, they're out of what they need, they're completely empty, Jesus began to show the miracle that he is who he was, and that he would begin to do something in front of them that they had never seen before. John 2 and 1 says, and on the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Can you imagine? They're celebrating a marriage. And all of a sudden, Mary knows who her son is. Mary knows the miracles that he can perform. And all of a sudden, she looks at Jesus and says, listen, they're out of wine. They're out of what they need. I want you to know today, you may feel that you're out of what you need. You may feel like that you're completely empty. You may feel like that I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to do it next week or next month. You may be out of something, but I want you to know today that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and He's Lord of Lords, and He's never out of His resources, but He's within His resources, and it's within a reach that God reaches down upon us and He begins to bless us. He begins to fill us. He begins to strengthen us, because He knows exactly where you're at today. You're not on an island somewhere alone, but God is with you on that island. God is with you every way. He says, I am Emmanuel. God is with us, and God will be with you as you trust Him and know that He is your deliverer. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. He is a God that is an on-time God. He does not sleep, nor does He slumber, but He sees you and I as we are. He doesn't want to keep us at where we're at, but He wants to bring the very best out in you. He wants to give you things that you've never seen. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered in the heart of man what God has in store for His people. He will restore and bring you to where you need to be, not where you want to go. Hallelujah. The Bible clearly lets us know that on the third day, probably from the calling of Nathanael, we see a Canaan, we see a short distance from Capernaum, and Mary was there in some important capacity, and Jesus was there with His mother. My first point today is this: the guest at the wedding. The guest at the wedding. The guest had never seen a miracle like this performed. Not even the great leader that was there did not see exactly what was coming on. But God was going to bless this wedding. God was going to touch this wedding. God was going to make it special. And yet when Mary looked to Jesus, she looked to the source. Today, folks, I want you to know that we must look to Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He is our source. He is your healer. He will be your provider. And He will take care of you every step of the way. The Bible lets us know in John 2:1, and on the third day there was a marriage. There it was at Cana of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. Have you ever wondered why they were called to the marriage? Maybe they had some kind of connection, meaning like they knew the family. They knew who it was. You see, Jesus and His disciples were invited. I want you to know today, Jesus is inviting you every day to be with Him. Jesus is inviting you to let you know that He is a God that will take care of you. The world can only do so much. Mom and dad can only do so much. Friends and families can only do so much. But what Jesus can do is what no other man can do. God can come on the scene. He can begin to restore your life. He can restore your family. He can restore your friends. He can restore that within you that is lost, that's been severed. He can begin to connect the puzzles back together, connect your life back together, and bring you to where you need to be. For He turned the water into wine. The same God that turned the water into wine is the same God that can turn things around in your life and put it on the right track. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some things that we see in this passage that we don't know about on the wedding. We don't know who was getting married. We don't know any details about them. Yet there's speculations concerning the marriage. Probably it was some relative of Mary and Joseph. Maybe Mary's prominence of indicates a family wedding. See how closely Jesus is associated with His disciples. An invitation to Jesus includes His disciples. He includes those that He loves. Jesus will include you in everything. He is not a God that subtracts, but He is a God that adds. And He's a God that wants you to come to Him. He doesn't want you to go from Him. And when we run into issues and we run into circumstances and we run into situations, it's never the enemy wants us to run away from Him, but it's for us to run to Him and to where He is at. Why? Because He's Abba Father. He's Daddy. He's Daddy to you. He's Daddy to me. He's moved by compassion. He's moved by compassion. He sees you. He knows you inside and out. Listen, an invitation to Jesus includes His disciples, and yet others should know that Jesus goes where we go. My second point today is the good advice that was given at the wedding. There was good advice that was given at the wedding. We see this clearly in John 2:3. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto Him, "They have no wine." Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with this?" In other words, He was saying, "Mine hour has not yet come. Why am I needing to do miracles right now? God the Father has not yet released me yet to do what I need to do. Why are you asking me now?" And His mother said unto the servant, "Whatsoever He says unto you, go ahead and do it." She just, as a mother, she just ignored Jesus and said, "Listen, you just do whatever Jesus says." She just assumed that she knew that her son was going to do something. She assumed that a miracle was going to take place. She assumed that it was going to happen. And guess what? It did. That was faith, my friend. We've got to step out in faith in things that we can't handle, in things that we can't do. We've got to trust and say, Jesus, I know you're the God. You're the God that saves this world, and the same God that saves us is the same God that'll save you and I, because we can step out in faith and know that God is with us every step of the way. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She clearly, Jesus says, it's not my time, it's not my hour. She didn't want to hear that. She just looked at everybody else and says, do whatever he says. Do whatever he says. Follow whatever he says. Whatever he says, you do it. Listen, a problem arises, and they're out without wine. And they're out of wine, and weddings are getting placed with problems. Mary handles the problem just like a mother would handle a child of their child. She takes the problem to Jesus. This is a good example for us. When problems come our way, we take it to Jesus. That's what Jesus wants to do. He wants us to take the problems to Him. Don't take it to social media. Don't take it to other things that you know can get blabbed around. Take it to Jesus. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Give it to Him and let Him be God in your life. Listen, Mary's good advice, as she says, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. We should always be ready to do what Jesus is saying to us. Jesus wants us to do. That's why I've always said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't vex the Holy Spirit. But when that little voice that's inside of you speaks to you in a way that's going to draw you to the Lord Jesus Christ, that voice is not going to come. When the enemy's not going to have you being drawn to Jesus, he's going to try to draw you away from Jesus. But when the voice of the Holy Spirit speaks to you and draws you to Jesus, that's when we need to take heed and do whatever it takes for us to get a hold of Jesus. Whatever it takes for us to get to Jesus, we're to do what Jesus has asked us to do. We should always be ready. What Jesus tells people to do will always be in accordance with His Word. What Jesus says in the voice will always line up with the Word of God. Nothing will go against. If it goes against the Word of God, if it's out of the Word of God, it's not of God. Hear me today. If it's not in accordance with the Word of God and it's not lined up with God's Word, then everything else is no good. It's a void. But listen, when Jesus lines up with the Word and the Word lines up with Jesus, because He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I want you to know today, when it lines up and what it is, then you can take it to the bank that God wants to do something in your life like you've never seen before. I don't know about you, but I want God to do something in my life in the next year of 2025 more than He did in 2024. I'm looking for great and mighty things. Why? Because God has great and mighty things in store for you and for me. It's not mere just to live in this life and just exist and be buried 6 foot under and that's it. No, there's more to life than just dying. It's more to life than just existing. We're not merely existing. We have a plan. God has a purpose. He has a reason why you and I are living today. Why? Because He sees good in us and He loves us. We'll involve beginning where we are. Will involve beginning where we are. John 2:6, and there was yet set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 of the firkins apiece. It will involve us in something at hand. God will involve us. God will cause us to do what needs to be done. John 2 and 6 says, "And there was yet set there six water pots of stone, and after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, contained two or three of the firkins apiece." Will involve labor. God says for us to labor. We are to labor for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to do a work for the Lord Jesus Christ. John 2 and 7, Jesus said unto them, "Fill the water pots with water and fill them up to the brim." It will involve faith in your life. It will involve faith in the things that you do. For us to please the Lord, we must walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is never for you to look with the natural eye. The enemy looks with the natural eye. He wants you to look at everything around you. He wants to try to discourage you. He wants to try to bring you down. But we're to look from the inside out, not from the outside in, and look with the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ and step out in faith and know that God is with us every step of the way. And faith must be demonstrated. Listen, the Bible clearly lets us know in John 2 and 18, "And he said unto them, Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bared it." My third point today is this: the good wine is at the wedding. The good wine is at the wedding. I want you to know today, the good wine is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the good wine, folks, that I want you to know today. That's the one that the Bible clearly lets us know, taste and see that He is good. We are to taste and feast on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the regular wine that was there was going to be there. It was going to be consumed in their bellies, and now they're great and they're moving on. But the wine that stays is the wine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I tell you what, the Bible says for us not to be drunk with wine, but for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's the Holy Spirit as it began to demonstrate that the new wine was coming. The new wine was there through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the wine that we are to experience, is to experience the Holy Spirit, and to be drunk on the Holy Spirit is to know the Holy Spirit is with us every step of the way. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That good wine at the wedding, at the first taste of the governor, knew the difference between water and wine. But did they really know who the real wine was? That Jesus Christ was the one of the real wine. Thou hast kept the good wine until now. Listen, that governor began to see what it was. But did the governor really see the Lord Jesus Christ? Did he really see the real wine that was there and the one that changed water into wine? They did not see, but he was there. The Bible clearly lets us know the lesson in the miracle of the wine is only Jesus keeps the best until last. Only Jesus keeps the best until last. For the believers, the best is yet to come. And every day with Jesus, He becomes sweeter, sweeter, sweeter than the day before. Why? Because He brings unto us, He satisfies our soul, and He gives us the peace and the joy and the contentment that we need every day. And now we don't have to walk around in doom and gloom, but now in agony and defeat, but now we can hold our head up high, we can give the world a smile and say, "The God that I serve that turned water into wine is the same God that can bring me what I need in my life, and I lack nothing because I stepped out in faith and I believed." Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. in my closing today, I want you to know today, invite Christ into your heart and life. If you've never invited Christ into your heart and life, now is a good time to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Listen, obey Christ. Obey His word. Obey what He is saying. Follow after Him. Know that He's with us every step of the way. And on top of that, I want you to know today we must enjoy the blessings of the Christ, of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to enjoy Him and know that He is a God that is not asleep. He's not a God that's up there in the heavens with a belly bat ready to knock us out, but He is a God that's loving us. He wants to love on you. He wants to wrap His arms around you. You say, but Pastor, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how bad I am. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. If you shot it up, snorted up, did everything you could possibly do, God still loves you, and He wants to save you. He wants to deliver you, and He wants to heal you. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the God that I serve today. Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because God truly, truly loves us. Hallelujah. There's a friend of ours that we're friends with. And they had a mother that was in drugs. She was on heroin, crack. It was just awful. And I would see, every time I would see her that was going through all of this, and she would tell me about her mother, how bad her mother was, and how that I prayed and I longed, Lord, just touch her. Lord, heal her. And for years, her mother had backslid on God and went the other direction, and it just got bad. It got so bad. And this mother just was going in a wrong direction. And every time that I would hear her daughter tell me about her mother and how bad she was, I just wondered in my mind, I wondered, Lord God, can you save her, Lord? I wondered in my mind, I said, Lord, she's so bad off, Lord. Can you heal her, Lord? And I was kind of getting kind of concerned, and I thought, Lord God, she has a daughter that loves you and serving the Lord, and how that you see what's going on, Lord. Can you do something? And the Lord, as time went on, the next thing I knew was her mother had gotten to know the Lord. She had cried out to the Lord. God had saved her. God had healed her. God had cleansed her, cleaned her up and washed her and just renewed her. And the next thing I heard from her daughter, she said, Tim, you're not going to believe this. I said, what's going on? She says, my mother said she got delivered. She got healed. She was on crack cocaine. She was on all kinds of stuff. She was shooting up, snorting up. She was doing it, but she came to an altar of prayer, and Jesus got a grip on her heart, and Jesus began to save her, and Jesus began to heal her. And from this day forward, it's been 2 or 3 years now, she's been clean, and now she's going to church, serving the Lord. Yes, can my God heal? Yes, He can. Can He deliver? Yes, He can. Can He save? Yes, He can. He can do it. And folks, I want you to know today it strengthened my faith to know that God can save, He can deliver, and He can heal. To God be the glory for the things that He has done and what He's going to do, because He will save those that He will save. Stand with me across the building today. Hallelujah. 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 God is a God of compassion. God is a God of understanding. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're dealing with right now. But I know that God is with you. God is a healer of a great physician of the great I am. And God is wanting to do great and mighty things in your life like you've never seen before. And God wants to do things in you that you've never seen before in your life. Because that's the God I serve today. He doesn't do things half-handed, but He does it good all the way. He is a perfect God. He is a loving God. And He is a God that understands you and I. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray today. Dear Heavenly Father, Son,